page 15 in the front of your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. All may kneel for confession. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I'll confess my transgression unto the Lord.
Oh. The readings for this, the baptism of our Lord Sunday, can be found in your bulletin insert. The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 42, reading from the first verse. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Here ends the reading. The epistle reading is found in Acts chapter 10, reading from the 34th verse. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Here ends the lesson.
Holy Gospel found in the Evangelist of St. Mark, the first chapter, reading from the fourth verse. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Israel went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Here ends the Gospel.
We will now confess our faith using the Nicene Creed, which is found on page 22 of your hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sit on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. The text is the gospel reading, Mark 1, 4 to 11. So, no epiphany? That's what you're thinking. We came to and went by January 6th and still no epiphany. Not so fast. The Eastern or Greek church celebrated the birth and baptism of Jesus on January 6th, calling it the Day of Light. The Western, the Latin church, the one we're descended from, emphasized epiphany on that day, and the baptism of Jesus fell from our calendar till around 1978. Well, just what are we celebrating then today? How about a short story, a literary trope, and a science experiment? First, the story. The conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, the Great Conjunction, was in my Google news feed as if it were news. The fact that it happens once every 20 years makes it as significant to me as a 17-year locust. Oh, sure, this is the closest in 400 years, but that some locust years, there are a lot more than others. But the internet generation loves whatever can be communicated by pictures and is sanctioned by science. So, this might be the very Star of Bethlehem. Jesus cannot be God in flesh and blood. Jesus cannot be born of a virgin. Jesus cannot be the sin bearer and ransom for all. But Jupiter and Saturn can do what Matthew says. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Stars, let alone conjunctions of planets, don't do that. An Arthur C. Clarke story, The Star, is a better view. A star exploding in one galaxy destroys that civilization. That's the Star of Bethlehem, which leads the Magi to a whole nother reality. That's closer to the truth. Da Vinci's unfinished Adoration of the Magi shows Mary, Jesus, and the kneeling Magi in the foreground. In the background is the ruin of a pagan building. The pagan world is being supplanted by the Christian, which began with the Magi, the Gentiles, the pagan nations, coming and kneeling before Jesus. Fast forward 30 years in Jesus' life to his baptism. El Greco's painting, which you see in black and white on the bulletin cover, has agitated flame-like brushstrokes, which imbue the tumultuous moment of Christ's baptism with a shudder that reverberates through all creation. Think those two paintings are over the top? Not for this text. Matthew and Luke had the heavens being opened. They both are passive, which means we know from which side they were open. God's. Mark, though, has the heavens tearing open. This is the atom splitting. This is the heavens rolling up like a scroll. In classical Greek, this phrase, schizomonas tos haranos, which is translated here, tearing open, referred to a divine announcement. The Star of Bethlehem led to the Lord's divine announcement. Do you hear what I hear? What I hear is the fifth business. That's a literary trope. It's the character who is neither ally nor nemesis, but he's the catalyst or means for the protagonist to come into his essence or a clearer understanding that leads to the resolving of the plot. The fifth business is an odd character that shows up every so often in the story. He's the change agent that moves the plot. Now, could that be John? His jumping for joy in the womb when Mother Mary greets his mom really underlined who Jesus is, the Lord, Yahweh. Then he disappears into the wilderness until the Holy Spirit says, the word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. The word of the Lord hadn't come to anyone for over 400 years. And his location, a desert region, his dress, like that of Elijah, his diet, minimalist at best, all testify that he means business. Could he be the fifth business? The change agent. Sure, it could be John. Some of his disciples thought so. Remember how they had a hard time letting go of John and going to whom he pointed? John could be the change agent, but Jesus is. He's the one the star leads to, and his birth brings paganism and scientism and modernism and postmodernism and all the other isms you can think of to their knees. Listen to this preaching by a fourth century church father, Ephraim the Syrian. He has Jesus saying, "By my baptism, the waters will be sanctified, receiving from me fire and the Holy Spirit. See the host of heaven hushed and still as the whole all-holy bridegroom goes down to the Jordan." Or perhaps you'd prefer the fourth century church father, Chrysostom. Jesus condescended to be baptized, not that his sins needed to be put aside, for he alone committed no sin, but that he should sanctify the waters of baptism so that one could trust that sins are washed away by it. The waters of baptism would never be able to wash away sins merely by believing unless the waters have been sanctified by the Lord's body touching them. Or how about the third century church father, Gregory Thaumaturgus? He says, by sending the dove, the Father points out Jesus as the new Noah to pilot the world that had shipwrecked. Maybe, though, you're more comfortable with Luther. This is Luther. For here we see that Christ the Lord not only institutes baptism and commands it to be administered, but also receives it himself from his servant John and is immersed in the water, touching it with his holy body, not just to confirm baptism, but also to sanctify it and fill it with blessing. You should not separate your baptism from Christ's baptism. You must come with your baptism into Christ's baptism so that Christ's baptism is your baptism and your baptism Christ's baptism. So much Luther. Jesus is the change agent. He came into our flesh and blood to do what we can never do and to pay what we could never afford. He did this from womb to tomb as the man of sorrows acquainted with grief. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted so that by his stripes we are healed. But wait, there's even more. By doing this in our flesh and blood, he wins them for our flesh and blood. But now, how does he get that holiness, that forgiveness, that pleasure of the Father to us? Not by our first birth, but by our second. And it happened to every one of us. But we don't see the heavens ripped open. We don't see paganism falling. We don't hear the Father shouting from heaven, "That's my boy, that's my girl." But we can. Now, we had the short story, the star. We had the literary device of the fifth business. Now to the science experiment. In the 1950s, inversion goggles were invented that caused the wearer to see the world upside down. At first, the wearer was incredibly disoriented and even in crisis. But at some point in the days-long experiment, his visual field flipped over. And he saw the flipped-over world as normal. Luther himself said that Jesus coming to John to be baptized was marvelously backward. Do you see this? Do you see that in the baptism of our Lord, not only is the pagan, sinful, fallen world undone, but reality is redone? The text says, confessing their sins, they were baptized by John. No confession, no baptism. Whose sins does the sinless Jesus confess? Why, yours. And if you don't think that is a big, big deal, a total flipping of reality, it's to be feared you're not a Christian. Either you don't know how many great and ugly your sins and sinfulness are, or you don't know what a big deal it is for the sinless Son of God to stand there in the Jordan saying, "I did that evil thing. I had this disgusting thought. I doubted this. I didn't believe that. And I think God is unfair, mean, and has abandoned me." Yet, what happens? Even though the man Jesus confesses to the filth, the wickedness, and unbelief of an entire fallen world, where does the dove of the Holy Spirit land? on him, the new Noah. See the full connection between Noah and Jesus. When Noah lets the dove out, it returns to him because, unlike the raven he had let out, doves neither eat nor land on dead things. God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't land on dead, sinful things, but he can land on Jesus because, though confessing all of our sins, he's guilty of none. The early church had a versicle and a response that both confessed the flipped over world and the connection between Noah and Jesus. One part chanted of the congregation chanted Genesis 6:6. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. The other part responded, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Recall this about the Greek preposition en, used by the Father from heaven. It means in or inside, not with Jesus, is God the Father well pleased. So the question is, are you inside Jesus or not? Where does your baptism place you? In the baptismal command, Jesus uses the Greek preposition eis, baptized into God the Father, baptized into God the Spirit, baptized into God the Son. So being baptized means you're in Christ. About 170 times, Paul trumpets how different things are in Christ. Listen to how he describes your new reality inside Christ. In him, says Paul, you're the righteousness of God. Redemption is yours inside Christ, says Paul. In Christ, you're dead to sin and alive to God. And haven't I quoted Romans 8:1 ad nauseum? There's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, God always, not sometimes, not most times, but always leads us in triumph, says Paul, 2 Corinthians 2:14. In Christ, we are new creations. Inside Christ, God sees us as holy and blameless. No wonder he bellows about how pleased he is from heaven. Where Christ is, there heaven stands open, and it will not close till the last day, said Luther. These are the goggles through which you are to view your world. Christ brings us into himself, and we see the fall of paganism, heaven being torn open, and the fifth business of Jesus changing everything in our life. We see, contrary to reason, contrary to logic, contrary to common sense, that we poor sinners who deserve nothing but wrath and damnation are not given these. Instead, the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross is placed on our bodies, into our ears, and into our very mouths. And all of creation, angels and archangels too, must serve us in our salvation. But the devil, the world, and your own fallen flesh want to rip these goggles off your face and show you their reality. COVID, government, and media, they all try doing this the very same way. Trust men, not God. Trust science, not religion. Everywhere the faith of the 1973 Humanist Manifesto is being proclaimed. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. And the faith that in Christ, God is on your side, you are his dear child, and he is your dear father, well, that's openly ridiculed. It always has been, and it will always be this way by those not wearing the goggles of baptism. Cain didn't, Saul didn't, Absalom didn't, Judas didn't, even Peter didn't for a while wear the goggles. We are always being tempted to remove them. What we're celebrating today is that we don't have to. And that's what we're celebrating any and every day. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The people we are particularly remembering as we pray the litany on page 661 are listed there in your bulletin. You're all invited to kneel as we pray the litany responsibly found on page 661.
Let us pray. O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
hear not us.
O God, the Father in heaven,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy upon us.
Be gracious unto us.
Save us,
Lord. Be gracious unto us.
Help us, Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From the grasp and assault of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity of fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, by thy agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost for the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all times of our tribulation, in all times of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment,
help us.
We poor sinners receive thee.
To hear us, O Lord God.
To rule and govern thy holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of thy church, the true knowledge and understanding of thy word and holiness of life. To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring in the way of truth all blessings of error and of deceit, to beat down Satan under our feet, send faithful laborers into thy harvest, to accompany thy word with thy spirit and grace. Raise up them that fall, to strengthen such as we stand, to comfort and help the weak hearted and in distress.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
To give all nations peace and comfort, to preserve our country from discord and contention, to give to our nation perpetual victory over all its enemies, to direct and defend our president and all authority, and to bless and keep our magistrates and all our people.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
To behold and succor all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation. To protect all who travel by land, water, and air. To preserve all women in the perils of childbirth. To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children. To set free all who are innocently imprisoned. To defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows. And to have mercy upon all men.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
Forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and return their hearts. Forgive and preserve our youth, the truth of the Lord, and grace us to hear our prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, O Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world,
grant us thy peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.
All may be seated for the offering. We're not passing the plate. You're welcome to take your offering to the plate in the rear or this way to your way up and place it there.
Thank you.
I direct your attention to the communion statement in the bulletin. We welcome all of you to our celebration of Holy Communion this morning. Because of the sad division that exists in Christianity today, we can't invite all of you to the Lord's table. Trinity practices closed communion, which means you commune after the members of Trinity. Those guests have been invited to commune for first. If you are a guest and not spoken to you before, please not come forward and receive communion. We continue with the communion liturgy on page 24. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let's give thanks to the Lord our God. Solitary, we should at all times and all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, to Jesus Christ our Lord. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion of a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Thank you. Amen. Christ be with you. The gift of the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has the death of all your sins. The body of Christ, who has the more sins. The drink is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. The drink is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. They drink if the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins, take drink of the blood of Christ, shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Savior Jesus Christ, give us the death for all your sins. Take heed. This is the true body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who led to death for all of your sin, the body of Christ given for your sin. Take drink. This is the true body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sin. Take drink. This is the true body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sin. Take drink the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take drink the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, the life everlasting, the heart in peace.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fountain source of all goodness, with loving kindness, did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Yes, adult class. Yes, junior confirmation on Monday, and Daniel on Wednesday. We should be all shoveled out by then. Elders meeting Tuesday at 6:30. Read the article on monastic vows, pages 70 to 80. And Transfiguration dinner is on Valentine's Day. It's going to be a pizza party. Then you should still sign up for that. Thank you.